Okay, so today we're diving into a legal case that really set a precedent.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Bouvier v. Superior Court. It went down in California back in 1986.
1986, California Bouvier. Yep. This one really gets to the heart of some core issues in healthcare law, like where do we draw the line between a patient's right to refuse treatment and, the hospital's obligation to preserve life?
And not just any treatment. We're talking about life-sustaining care. Can someone, even if they're not terminally ill, say, I don't want this?
Huge questions, right? We're going to be digging into the original legal briefs and analyses of this case to understand its implications.
Because whether you're a legal scholar, a healthcare professional, or frankly, anyone who might one day face difficult medical decisions, understanding Bouvier and what it means for patient autonomy is essential. So consider this your deep dive.
Let's start with Elizabeth Bouvier herself. She was only 28 back in 1983 when this all started.
68 years old.
And she was dealing with severe cerebral palsy and quadriplegia. Constant pain, totally dependent on others for everything.
Imagine that.
She was hospitalized at LA County USC Medical Center. And that's where she decided to refuse nutrition.
Through a nasogastric tube, right?
Yep. She'd already lost a significant amount of weight down to just 65 pounds.
That's incredibly difficult to hear. But here's the thing. Bouvier wasn't terminally ill.
Right. That's what makes this case so unique and, frankly, so controversial. Doctors estimated she could have lived another 15, maybe even 20 years with treatment.
But she was making a conscious choice to refuse it. You can see how this created a real ethical and legal bind for the hospital.
Well, absolutely. They're balancing their duty to care for her with the possibility of, well, legal consequences if they honor her wishes. And back then, the legal landscape wasn't as clear as it is now.
It's hard to imagine the pressure they were under. And to make things even more complicated, the trial court actually sided with the hospital.
Yeah, they denied Bouvier's petition and even went so far as to call her decision slow suicide.
Wow, that must have been devastating for her. But this wasn't the end of the road for Bouvier, was it?
No. Her legal team appealed the decision, taking it up to the California Court of Appeal for the Second District. They were seeking a writ of mandamus. Basically, that's an order from a higher court to a lower one.
Yeah.
In this instance, it was to force them to acknowledge Bouvier's right to refuse treatment.
So, what was the big question that the appellate court had to grapple with?
It boils down to this: can a competent adult refuse life-sustaining medical care, even when they aren't facing a terminal illness?
That goes way beyond medical ethics. It's about individual liberty. How much control do we have over our own bodies?
Bouvier's lawyers built their case around some major constitutional principles. You've got the 14th Amendment, which guarantees liberty, and then you've got California's Constitution, which protects the right to privacy.
Yeah.
They were basically saying that forcing medical treatment on Bouvier against her will was a violation of these fundamental rights.
This was a bold argument, especially given the legal precedent at the time.
Right. A few years earlier, there was the Barber case in 1983, which seemed to suggest that a patient needed to be terminally ill before life support could be legally withdrawn.
So Bouvier was really pushing the boundaries of patient autonomy.
Exactly. The Barber case involved removing life support from someone who was brain dead after surgery. So the emphasis was on the fact that further treatment wouldn't bring them back.
But Bouvier was conscious, right?
Very much so. And she was actively refusing treatment that could keep her alive, even if that life involved suffering.
So the stakes were high. How did the California Court of Appeal rule?
The majority opinion in Bouvier was groundbreaking, to say the least. It set some really important precedents.
Tell me more.
Okay, so a core part of their reasoning was this idea of bodily integrity. The court stated pretty bluntly that forcing someone to undergo treatment, including something like force feeding, without their consent, is a form of battery. They even said, and I'm quoting here, "incongruous to preserve a life someone else must endure."
Wow, that's powerful.
It really emphasizes that as much as we want to preserve life, we can't violate someone's basic right to choose what happens to their own body.
Right. It's not just about the physical act of treatment, it's about respecting the patient's autonomy and bodily integrity.
Exactly. Another key part of the court's reasoning was their stance on the irrelevance of motive. They were like, we're not going to judge Bouvier's reasons for refusing treatment.
Meaning it didn't matter if it was because of pain, wanting peace, or anything else.
Exactly. They said, and I love this quote, "no approval of motives required."
That shifts things dramatically. It's saying that the right to choose is inherent regardless of your reasoning.
It was a big move away from this idea that a patient's reasons had to be seen as rational or acceptable to be considered valid.
So it was Bouvier's decision to make, period.
Period. Now, the court also considered the state's interest in preserving life. They acknowledged that the state does have a legitimate interest in protecting life, but they also said that in non-emergency situations, this interest is outweighed by the individual's right to autonomy, especially when it comes to a competent adult making a decision.
So how did they square that with the concerns about suicide?
They drew a very important distinction. They argued that refusing medical treatment is essentially allowing nature to take its course, whereas suicide is an affirmative act to end one's life.
So it's more like accepting an existing condition rather than actively ending your life.
Right. This was huge because it clarified that a patient refusing treatment isn't necessarily trying to die, but might be choosing not to prolong a life they find unbearable.
Okay, so that addresses some of the ethical concerns, but what about the healthcare providers?
Yeah, the court recognized the tough spot doctors and hospitals were in. So they included a provision to protect them from liability if they honored a competent patient's refusal.
That makes sense. They needed to be able to follow these principles without fear of legal repercussions.
Exactly. This really helped put the court's decision into practice.
So that was the majority opinion, but Justice Compton wrote a concurring opinion, didn't he?
Yes. And it adds an important layer to this whole thing. He agreed that Bouvier had the right to refuse treatment, but he also expressed real empathy for her situation.
I can only imagine what she was going through.
He said, and this really stuck with me, the tragedy is that she had to litigate this.
It shouldn't have been a fight, right?
Exactly. He was recognizing the immense suffering she had to endure, not just from her condition, but from having to go through this whole legal process just to assert her basic rights. And he actually went a step further, calling for the medical profession to be more open to the idea of death with dignity. He recognized that for some people, death might be a relief.
And this was in 1986. Way before those conversations became mainstream.
Right. He was way ahead of his time. He even talked about the possibility of future legislation that would give people like Bouvier more control over their end-of-life choices. And sure enough, 8 years later, you had the Oregon Death with Dignity Act.
So his words were really prophetic. They had a real impact on those later debates. Speaking of impact, what was the overall legacy of Bouvier?
Oh, it was huge. It became a foundational case for patient rights in the U.S.
In what way?
Well, for one thing, it was a major influence on Cruzan v. Director, Missouri Department of Health, which went all the way to the Supreme Court in 1990.
I remember that case. It involved withdrawing life support from an incompetent patient.
Right. And the principles established in Bouvier about a competent adult's right to refuse treatment were essential to the Supreme Court's decision in Cruzan.
So it had national implications.
Absolutely. And beyond that, Bouvier helped pave the way for things like POLIS-T forms, which stand for Physician Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment.
Oh, yeah, and advanced healthcare directives like living wills.
Exactly. These tools allow people to say what they want in terms of medical care before they're unable to speak for themselves.
So when we fill out those forms, we're actually exercising the rights that Bouvier helped establish. It's incredible.
It is. Now, of course, there are still some ongoing complexities and debates, like how do these principles apply to patients with psychiatric conditions who may have a harder time making these kinds of decisions?
That's a tough one. Competency can be a really gray area, especially when mental health is involved.
No doubt. But the core takeaway from Bouvier is still very clear. Autonomy in healthcare isn't about making choices that other people agree with. It's about the fundamental right to make your own choices about your body and your medical care, even if it means refusing treatment that can keep you alive.
It's about self-determination, pure and simple.
Exactly. And that right was really affirmed in Bouvier.
So, to sum it all up, Bouvier v. Superior Court is a powerful statement about the right of competent adults to make their own healthcare decisions, even when it comes to life-sustaining treatment.
And I think it leaves us with a really important question. How do we strike a balance between protecting vulnerable individuals and upholding that fundamental right to self-determination?
It's a conversation that we as a society need to keep having.
Absolutely.
If you're interested in learning more about this, we encourage you to look into advanced healthcare directives and have those crucial conversations with your loved ones about your own wishes. Because the principles at the heart of Bouvier aren't just legal theory, they're about our individual rights and the role of medical intervention in our lives.
They affect all of us.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Always a pleasure.